Okay, 7 o'clock, time to call the order of the Town of Discovery Bay Regular Board of Directors meeting. If I could ask everyone to stand and follow Assistant Town Manager Dina and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present, including Vice President Graves that's joining us through teleconference.
Thank you. Okay, this is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the audience who wishes to address the board, you have 3 minutes to state whatever you'd like to talk about that is not currently on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public that wishes to address?
There are no members of the public online, Chair.
Thank you. Then I will close public comments and move to the consent calendar. Do any board members wish to move anything from the consent calendar?
No.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve, please?
I motion to approve.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Then we'll move to Yola, presentations.
Thank you. Well, if we can move to item E, Yola's presentation. They don't have a formal presentation this particular month because we have a new project manager assigned to us, and I'd like to introduce him and have him tell you a little bit about himself. So this is Anthony Harper. Anthony?
Hello, I'm Anthony Harper, project manager for Veolia. I was recently transitioning here to assist with the relocation of the previous project manager for our wastewater and water facility. In my transition period, I did put in my requisition to relocate here permanently, if the town will approve that. Some of the things we're working on with the plant is, of course, keeping aluminum strong, making sure we're up to code everywhere. And a big push so far, what I've seen is we've got a lot of capital improvement work coming, particularly with wastewater plant too. So I've been trying to work diligently with the town and with the staff to make sure we're ready, safety, operational compliance wise. A little bit about myself, I'm literally from everywhere in the world. I've been very fortunate in my career. I've been in water treatment for government contracts for over 20 years. I have a lot of licenses in several different states, and for Veolia, for the most of my career, has been literally living in hotels and planes. They fly me into sites and to fix things. Go in, fix the problem, find it, tell us how to fix it, work with the towns to figure out how we can come to whatever the situation is. I have a very good rapport with the state regulators and things like that. I believe we have to work together no matter what our points of views are. I quite literally am passionate about what I do. I love what I do. I love the water and wastewater business. And though I work for Veolia, we're here to serve you. We're here to do the best we can and give you the best advice we can. If that's blurry somewhere, then that's where we work together to figure out what we can do. Yeah. Previously, I'm told that PR relations may have been touchy. If that's true, I'm opening the door to any of you. Anybody, any town member that ever has a question about water or wastewater, do not hesitate to call me. Do not hesitate to show up at that wastewater plant or the office or the water plant. Come see. I'll open that door for you. If you have questions, ask. That this is y'all's facility that we run for y'all. I hope y'all will give me a little bit of time to get an understanding of what, a better understanding of y'all's system as I'm learning. We also have a new admin that's on site. something I'm working on. If y'all have any questions for me about where I come from, I can tell you a lot of the really cool stories about some of the things I've been involved in. If you ever need a resume, any of my licenses will be posted at the site. Anything you'll ever need, please ask. So I appreciate it.
I have a question. I hear a lot of y'alls. Where's the y'alls come from?
Mississippi is where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's still there holding down the original fort, I guess you could say. I guess I've lived in one place the longest, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I've also spent 3 or 4 years in Iraq, Afghanistan, Northern Africa, Philippines, many countries, and several states. I'm licensed in Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Illinois, and California. So.
Wonderful.
Got lots of stories.
Yeah, well, welcome.
I'll have that. My specialty is water. More experience on the water side than wastewater, but I've definitely been involved in a lot of project transitions. So I'm here to help. I really am looking, and if you'll accept me to try to move closer, I'm in the Silicon Valley right now. I like small town type stuff, so, as you can hear. You can't offend me, so don't worry. You're not going to offend me if you have something harsh to say. Tell me the truth. I speak to y'all in truth. If y'all want to know, I'm going to tell you the best thing I can give you at the time. And if I have a question, I'll say, give me a minute, and I'll get you the right answer. So, thank y'all.
Welcome, Anthony. Thank you. Okay, then let's move forward with business action items. Let's talk about the audited financial statements.
Good evening. On November 18, 2020, the Board of Directors approved contracting with Croce, Sanguinetti, and Vanderveen to perform the annual audit for fiscal year 2019-20 for the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District, the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority, under the direction of Mark Croce. Croce, Sanguinetti, and Vanderveen prepared and submitted our financial transaction reports as required by the state. They were submitted on January 31st, 2021. Tonight, we have Mark Croce here to present our annual financial statements that will have been fully audited, and he will take questions once he's done with the presentation. In your packet, you have the working draft of the financial statements. We will not be presenting it because it would be way too small to put on the board. And I introduce Mark Croce.
Very good, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. In the interest of your time and whatnot, I know you've had the package from before. I'm going to go through this very quickly. It's a lot of pages, and I don't have to go through everything in detail. Most would be here until tomorrow. But I'm going to go through it quickly, and then leave time for some questions if anyone has any for me. Let me start by letting you know, as was presented, we have submitted your financial transactions report to the state. This report is now due by June 30th of this year, but it will be presented as it will be submitted again to the state and to Contra Costa County upon approval by this board. To let you know a little bit about the audit process took place towards the end of the year, of the prior year. Your agency is improving year after year, and your financial records are in good order. So I wanted to let you know just from a top side of, you know, what does the audit look like? The report, if we flip into page number one on the independent auditor's report, is an unmodified opinion and is prepared under governmental accounting standards. So we also include a report regarding internal controls, which is also an unmodified opinion. I'd like to say, you know, it's a fabulous opinion, A+. The terms in the accounting world is unmodified opinion. So the good news is, the reports are all positive, the best level of assurance we can provide. If you flip into page number 3 to the package, you start the management's discussion and analysis. This is where I find that this is the effort in financial reporting to really put into the English language what is actually happening in the back of the reports. So we can indicate that the net position of the district increased by $1,854,440. If you were looking at that in the world of regular, as opposed to government, that would be called net income. So revenues exceeded expenditures by $1,854,440 for the year. Total assets of the district were $72,781, of which $46,399 was capital. I mean, with capital assets of $46 million net of accumulated depreciation. This is a very young agency, so your assets are still depreciating because, as you know, things, as you know here, things were established in 1998. This is different from many cities or other community services districts that have been in place for many, many years. So you have the fortune of having fairly young infrastructure here at the agency. Regarding the liabilities of the district, as you're aware, the liabilities include the bonds that are outstanding that were passed a number of years ago, $20 million. And then, as we indicated in the fourth bullet point down, assets of the district exceeded liabilities by $51 million. So you can take the 72 minus the 20, and that's where you come out to that $51, $52 million. When you come to the end there, at year end, there was $2,376,000 of cash and investments that were held for governmental activities. This is the lighting and landscaping districts, as well as the community service district fund. And then there is $22,757,000 in cash and investments in what we call enterprise activities, which is the water and wastewater funds. Flipping over to page number 5 of the district, in the report you can see this is the only place in government accounting where we start doing some comparative to prior year. So again, my numbers get a little small here, but nonetheless, you can see the comparisons from year to year, and things just very much from 19 to 20 were very similar. This is the net position of the districts, of the governmental funds and the business type funds. So as you look down, things are pretty consistent from year to year. Not a lot of excitement to really talk about. When we flip over into page number 6, you can take a look at the income activity for the year. Again, governmental activities, business type activities. So once again, governmental, lighting, landscaping districts, and community center. Business type activities are the water and sewer funds. Most things are very consistent. The charges for service and the governmental activities funds went down. That's primarily due right here to the community center. You know, with COVID, things kind of shut down, so you had less fees coming in on that side. When you look at the business type activities, you can see a nice increase in revenues, including new connections. So you had additional customers and additional fees. When you're coming down at the bottom, you're going to see some investment income this year that did not exist there last year. That is primarily due to there was a payment on a note agreement from, I believe it's the Hoffman Company, on a settlement. And then you'll see $61 million of operating grants and contributions, and that was in the water fund, I believe, for some funding that came in from the state. But again, activity is very, very consistent from year to year, and we're finding that the district is keeping the records are in very good order as far as keeping things separated by fund and whatnot. You guys are doing a really good job. At the bottom, you can see charges for service decreased by $71,000, decrease in community center, capital grants and contributions decreased by $1,312,000. Last year, you did receive half of the settlement on the community center in one lump sum. Property tax revenues increased by $23,000. Other revenues decreased by $14,000 due to a decrease in reimbursements. You do a lot of reimbursement activity with the county relative to some of the lighting and landscaping. Again, this is all things you're very familiar with. And expenses had a decrease of $145,000 due to a decrease in payroll. That's in the governmental funds. You move forward, we do some comparisons here relative to some charts just so people can take a look at things in a more visual format. And then we talk about the business type activities. That operating grant we detail here was a sustainability grant that was received. Steve for the water fund. And then again, we do some graphing down below for just to kind of provide some something that's more than just letters and numbers. Moving on, I'm going to move real quick over here. On page number 10, you can see what happened in capital assets for the year. There was some activity there with the water treatment plant, Willow Lake Underwater Pipeline. So you can kind of get an idea of where the district spent some money during the past year. You can see some of the improvements at the dog park, etc., and then a detail of the fixed assets and the depreciation. Regarding debt administration, the district is on time making their debt payments that that are scheduled. There's plenty of cash to make that happen. The district makes the payments like clockwork. You guys are outstanding, and there is no issue with maintaining the debt covenants that are involved with the debt. So not a lot of activity. At that point, we can go through the statements in detail, and I'm happy to do that. Starting on page 12 is the detail income statements and whatnot. I was planning on kind of skipping that, if that's okay with you guys, unless you'd like me to go through things in more detail, let me know. The notes to the statements also are very consistent from year to year, so there really is not a lot to discuss. And again, in the interest of time, I was going to move really quickly here, but happy to slow down if you'd like me to do so. I was really going to flip all the way back to the very end of the statements. So this is going to be, let me get to my issue here, page number 43, and actually it should be, starts on 43, and it's the top of 44. The only new note disclosure that the district has, I'd love to say there was all sorts of exciting new things in the world of accounting. We just have to put on the top of 44, which is a continuation of note L from page 43, that the coronavirus pandemic, we do have to put a note in regarding subsequent events and the fact that there could be future impacts to governmental entities as well as for-profit entities as a result of the declaration of the pandemic. This is a new note required in all financial statements. So do we think that there is going to be a major impact here? No. If you are property funded by revenues for water and wastewater, they are essential services, as well as from property tax allocations, etc. So we do not see that this district will be impacted, but nonetheless, the note disclosure is required. Flipping further to the end, very end of the package, you're going to see, and let me get you to the right page on that. On page number 47, we are required under governmental accounting to opine on internal controls that exist over financial reporting and related to compliance. If we were to see that the district did not have proper internal controls for financial reporting or compliance with what is required for bonds, for governmental activities, we would have to disclose a deficiency in the internal control. I want this board to know that this report is not always a clean opinion. So this is a report where there are many times I'm standing before a board such as yours, and I'm indicating that there are control deficiencies. I am pleased to be here tonight to say your district does not have any control deficiencies. Internal controls are in place. They are operating from what our testing indicated. They are operating as designed. So we are feeling very confident that this district has a good internal control system, which means that at any point in time that you are provided financial information, you should be able to rest assured that that financial information is materially accurate. But again, there are unfortunately entities that I don't, I'm here and they're not getting as rosy a report, so this is not always this way. Moving on to the very end of your package, you should have a letter from us. This letter indicates, it's to the Board of Directors, and it talks about the audit, and it talks about significant audit findings. It is our report directly to you. At one point, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board had wanted us to actually grade financial statements. To literally say you get an A, a C, a D, almost like that. Thank goodness we don't do that. But at the end of the day, we are required to let you know different things. And one of the things is under significant audit findings is quality we were finding that we were always trying to round things to get to a certain number or pound budgeted items into wrong buckets just to make sure the budget to actual look right, we would be required to let you know that that is what we see. We are pleased to say that is not what we found here. Everything is presented accurately regardless of other implications. We do have to talk about estimates and financial statements. We do make an estimate, or with management, make an estimate of the collectability of accounts receivable. That that estimate regarding allowance for bad debts is a significant estimate, you know, because it is based upon, you know, looking at prior activity, trying to determine, you know, how many of the accounts could potentially be uncollectible. We are required to just let you know that is a significant estimate. If we had any difficulties that we encountered performing the audit where we weren't provided the information, we would need to let you know. We are pleased to let you know that was not the case. We are required to let you know of the journal entries that we prepare. So those are listed in the center of the page that says corrected and uncorrected misstatements. So these are some entries that we made as part of the audit. The list is very short and is getting shorter by the years. A lot of what does happen here, where sometimes things can end up, is there's a lot of sometimes there's funds that get commingled. I think you're really working hard now at getting that very separated. And you can see by the amounts of the journal entries, they are very small. So not an issue. Accumulated depreciation, though, is an entry that we provide. We do this for many clients, and this is allowed for auditors to do for their clients. So we do provide the entry for depreciation annually. Your entry for depreciation in the water fund was for $669,172, and for the sewer fund, $2,042,378. We also have depreciation in the lighting and landscaping funds. So those are what I would call normal things that we do as part of the audit. So really, when you remove those, there's only a couple of small entries that were made as part of the audit process. Very impressive. Disagreements with management, there were none. Management representations have been provided to our office. That was received in the mail today, so that is ready to go. So really, we really didn't have any issues. This report would be an A report if you had to give it a grade. But we are required to provide this information to you. It was a really fast overview of a lot of financial information, but in the interest of time, are there any questions, or is there anything you'd like me to go through in more detail?
Director Graves, do you have any questions?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, just want to make sure you're still there. So comparatively, we have a little problems with our sound system. So comparatively,
no, I can hear Cornell.
Okay, good. So comparatively, you said we get an A. I mean, with the other vendors that you work with, how often do those guys get A's? Or
there'd probably be about a third that would be in the same area that you are. There's probably a third that, you know, do fine, and you know, they're not maybe where you are, but they're doing fine. And there's a third that we, you know, I am from the city of Stockton, so there are those that don't get such glowing reviews. My job, I mean, I don't, as I always tell people, I don't make the news. The news is made by your folks over here. I just report the news, and the news to report here is good. And so you guys would be in the top third. And again, your district, the age of your district, and the organization that you've been able to bring to it has been very good.
That's good. We definitely want our members of the public to know where we stand. So
yeah, financially, this district, not only from an audit standpoint, in the sense that you have, you know, a good organization, but financially, this district is on very good footing. This is, you know, our typical water and sewer districts have much older infrastructure and are struggling right now to pay for the maintenance on the older infrastructure. I mean, we do work in Marin County. You know, we're from the valley, so we're used to flat land. I've learned a lot about, well, the gentleman before me, I'm sure, knows way more than I'll ever know about about sewer and water in some of the older Bay Area towns, especially when there's mountain areas and all sorts of pumping problems. And you know, I was taught, you know, you put the sewer plant where it's low and it just goes. But in their area, it doesn't work that way. And I have come to learn that it is very expensive to maintain. So financially, this district is on very good footing.
Let's go ahead and open it up to members of the public. Do anyone members of the public wish to comment on this item?
There are no members of the public online, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And I'll bring it back to the board for what's. Are we approving the
staff's recommendation is to approve the financial statements as presented.
Well, then I'll bring it back to board for approval or clarifying questions.
Make a motion that we approve. Mm-hmm.
A second.
Roll call. You got Pete, Kevin.
Director Graham.
Aye.
Director Callahan.
Aye.
Director Porter.
Aye.
Vice President Graves.
Aye.
President Gatto.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On that, I'm going to leave. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's then move forward to item two.
Okay, good evening. The item before you this evening was discussed at the Water and Wastewater Committee meeting on March 3rd. Staff at that meeting got the recommendation from the committee members to bring it to you this evening. A little background on this item is at the November 20th, 2019 board meeting, the board considered the scope of services from Kerwick Engineering to perform design services, engineering construction support, construction management, and inspection services for the denitrification project. At that time, the board approved only the engineering design portion of the scope of services and requested that we bring back requested that the engineer construction support, the construction management, and inspection services portion be postponed. The denitrification project is now at 90% design submittal. We plan to go out to bid in April and hopefully award bid in May. Therefore, we need to make a decision for engineering construction support, construction management, and inspection services. Staff researched the current market rates for these services. The rates are between 10 and 15% of the total project cost. The estimated cost for these services would be anywhere between $1.4 and $2.1 million. Herwitt's all-inclusive estimate is far less. Staff is requesting that the board approve the staff recommendation provided in the report this evening. Do you have any questions?
I'm just trying to remember, why did we postpone making that decision at the November meeting?
Yes, I do. It was a single source. So usually when we have a single source, we kind of pull things back a little bit once in a while, just because this project was so big.
Right.
They wanted to wait until we had a little bit more design. We got our cost estimates a little bit better buttoned up, and then go out and start just double checking and making sure we're getting a good rate. Mm. So, and that's what we did. So we're trying to do checks and balances with our projects.
Does anyone for wastewater want to chime in?
I mean, I think we felt comfortable with staff's recommendation and what Herwitt had done. I mean, they've done a good job at this point, and you know, scope of project, they're familiar with it, and you add the cost of that, it makes sense.
Okay.
I would concur with Director Porter.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and open up public comments.
No members of the public online, Chair.
Okay, close public comments. We'll bring you back to board for action and go for a discussion.
Make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation to hire Herwitt Engineering.
Sure.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Chair, before there's a vote, can we clarify that the staff recommendation encompasses everything that's on the staff report, including the approving of the scope and authorizing the general manager to execute the town standards form? Is that the maker of the motion's intention?
Yes, that's the maker of the motion's intention, exactly as you worded it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. Okay, moving forward to item...
Hey, President.
Yes, sir.
President Gatto?
Go ahead, Director Graves.
I'm sensing there's a delay, so I apologize for that. Apparently, when I speak, it comes through a second or two later, it seems. So it's not that I'm thinking, it's just that I think there's a technological issue here.
I think we've come to that same conclusion.
Okay. Good to go.
Okay, let's move forward then with item three, the Orion water meter.
Aaron, you board. This is Aaron. Bring to you a staff report about the CDMA Orion meter that the town purchased back in 2014. Back in 2014, we started purchasing the CDMA Orion meters for the water meters. The CDMA Orion meters are 3G technology. It was Badger's one of the first projects on this. It's been some time. They have a 10-year warranty, and we're on the back half of that warranty. And in order to replace them, we would have to spend half the price of a new Orion meter, which is roughly around $300. These Orion meters, they read only one time a day to the cellular endpoint, and they read once an hour to the meter. So they collect data from the meter once every hour, and they report it to the cell tower once a day. The newer style LTEMs communicate every 15 minutes to the meter capturing data, and they report it to the cellular data four times a day. Three of those are programmable by the district, so we could actually set those times, let's say, for 8 a.m. when our doors first open to handle phone calls. We could do 11 a.m., and then we could do 4 p.m. for those late phone calls. Orion reached out to us to let us know that in this 10-year warranty of these CDMAs, it is not covered, the warranty is not covered for the cellular network. So if this 3G network was to go down, we couldn't return those for a warranty replacement. We have to purchase new Orion meters for that. The new LTEMs have a 20-year warranty. The first 10 years of that warranty is 100% replacement cost, including if there's any issues with the network. The back half of that warranty is prorated, and at year 11, it would cost 70% the cost of the new LTE and input. So it is staff's recommendation to replace the 4600 with the newer style LTE and input. Any questions?
Do you have any indication on the cellular network, the CDMA network? Who maintains that currently? Do you know?
T-Mobile and Sprint.
Do you have any indications of how long they planned on continuing to maintain that network?
I really don't have any idea.
Right.
But I know since T-Mobile switched or purchased Sprint, they are starting to sunset and move everything to 5G. I think Sprint had some intentions of keeping it around, but since T-Mobile took over, I think they're not going to do any upgrades. So I think if the tower was to go down, they probably wouldn't
be
do anything to help keep it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it was just, that was a critical point. This is one of those things where we're just walking on a tightrope.
Yeah. I was going to say, when it was presented to wastewater it made sense. They're offering this a package deal. Like, at some point, they're going to be not available, not something that we can utilize, and so it's like we might as well spend the money and upgrade it and make sure that we're not on the back end having to replace stuff and it's not working.
Yeah, they did offer it to us a pretty good deal. They offered us at $57.50 per endpoint, when really they cost $334 for a brand new. It's a quarter of the price.
And as I understand it, this is going to come out of the Water Enterprise Fund, which that is what?
So the water meters, every account has a water service charge on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would come out of that cost, because just like if a meter was to
mm-hmm.
go bad, we would replace
mm-hmm.
it, we would charge the homeowner for that, because we're already paying a service charge for that, and this endpoint is part of that deal.
Okay, so we're not going to be asking anyone for additional money.
Correct. The homeowner will be affected to charge twice, yes.
And I think in the long run, too, it's also going to provide better service for our homeowners
mm-hmm.
community, because
mm-hmm.
of the numbers of times that it reports.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is an issue or something like that, we're going to be a lot more intuitive
mm-hmm.
into that than if it's
mm-hmm.
only reporting once a day and someone has a leak
right.
or something.
Exactly.
It takes that much longer to figure that
yeah.
out.
In
yeah.
7 days on this older style, you would only have 7 reporting times. Whereas this newer system, in 3
mm-hmm.
days, you would have
mm-hmm.
96 reporting times.
And so that's exactly what these funds are there for, is to replace, update, maintain, whatever. So.
Yep.
Not to go back in time, though, but in 2014, when we went through this initially, were these potentially known issues, or did we know that potentially there would be a technology change and things would go a different direction?
I didn't think it would be this soon. I don't think they expected it to be this soon. At the time, compared to everybody else we were looking at, they were pretty competitive with their technology, and other companies had the same technology we had before, which failed miserably. So I honestly didn't expect 2014 they were selling CDMA, because at that time they were saying CDMA is going to be part of wastewater, water, utility infrastructure for just low data technology, and nobody expected how fast technology moves.
I mean, even look at your cellular service and how fast it's gone from, you know, 3G to 5G to LTE to whatever.
Sure.
Which is really nice, where they're including the cellular network in the new warranty, which is a 20-year warranty. Well, first thing is
that,
you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 10 years of that is really nice.
Now, certainly from a cost standpoint, it's a very attractive solution they're offering. Director Graves, do you have any comments?
No, I think you guys covered it. It just seems like it's cost-effective. It wasn't technology that we could originally install, remembering that some of these meters go back to when Centex was built. No, it's time to upgrade the entire system.
Good point. Okay, let's go ahead and open up to public comments then.
There's no public online, Chair.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to close public comments. And unless there's any further comments, then we'll bring it back for action.
So a staff recommendation is to approve the replacement of CDMAs to LTEMs and to authorize the general manager not to exceed $300,000.
Actually, I have one question for her. So what is the program, what is the anticipated rollout, and how long would it take to implement, if approved?
Still working on that?
If I could, Chair.
Yes, sir.
If we could, since there's a motion on the floor,
there's
a second to the motion.
There's no motion.
Then we can clarify the questions after.
There's no motion at this point. Council?
Okay. Yeah, I heard a motion from I believe Director Callahan. I made a good mistake.
No, I made a recommendation.
That's staff recommendation.
You misheard. We're operating on our. The motion was made by staff.
I'm sorry.
Not by the board.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. My apologies. Carry on.
Okay. So the rollout plan was just presented to us. This offer was just presented to us within the last month. So we're still working on having my guys do it would be pretty stressful, but I think we could do it, but it would be pretty stressful. But there is other ideas that we're thinking about having that done.
Other ideas as far as hiring a third party or?
Possibly temporary work, seasonal work, whatever, but that's still on the table. We got to discuss that first.
What's the impact of the install? Does it require you to cut off water?
No, okay. No effect to the water service. It's just unplugging it from the meter itself and plugging in the endpoint. The hard part is going to be just trying to get the data entry in on time for monthly read pulls.
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
I'll bring it back to the board for action.
I think it's only appropriate.
Yeah, I will go ahead and make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second that.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Grace?
Aye.
President Gatto?
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks. Hey, this is Andy.
Okay, let's move forward to item four, air burners.
Good evening. So before you have the staff report regarding the purchase of a firebox for the removal of the green waste produced by the town's landscaping operations. A little background, early in 2020, staff noticed unusually high costs associated with the removal of green waste, and we were certainly going to exceed our budget. So we researched alternatives and discovered that air burner fireboxes would be a viable option both financially and environmentally. Financially, the cost to deliver and pick up one 40-yard container is approximately $640 with additional charges for tonnage of waste. So with each container that's picked up and delivered, the costs are between $1,200 and $1,500. While we researched viable options this year, we did store our waste material at Plant 1. The current cost associated with the removal of that waste would be near $25,000. With that cost and the added benefit of no waste disposal costs moving forward, the cost recovery is approximately 3 years. Environmentally, this new equipment would burn waste to a nearly 100% reduction, and the minimal ash byproduct would then be used as an additive for lawn fertilizer. Now, there are many examples of municipalities benefiting from the use of fireboxes in California, including the state itself, who uses a number of fireboxes for their fire fuel reduction efforts. By purchasing a firebox, staff feels the town would not only benefit financially, but also be leaders in environmental responsibility. So tonight, staff recommends to approve the purchase of one air burner 2021 T24 Burn Boss firebox, and authorize the general manager to execute all purchase documents between the town and air burners in the amount of $63,312.46, including shipping and taxes. Questions?
Well, it looks pretty cool in the pictures. It looks a little kind of dangerous too. What type of training
sure.
is going to be necessary?
Because of COVID, they do offer online training, and that's $800. And I, in initial conversations with Aaron and myself, providing me, Aaron, a couple members from water, and a couple staff members from landscape.
And where would it be stored, or where would
the
fire?
Well, the location would permit to be at Plant 1, although it is movable. It's on a trailer, so
okay.
It could be brought to sites if necessary.
And we have the capacity and the equipment to move it around and stuff if
correct.
We needed to. We don't need any special equipment for that.
No special.
This is probably a silly question, but are there any special permits or any other environmental
good
requirements?
Currently, the EPA does not require permitting on burn boxes. It's a fluid situation in terms of permitting, but at the moment, no, there's no permitting.
And how would this be impacted by drought restrictions?
In terms of?
Like with the state, like when they do burn bans and things like that, does that include?
It should not include that, but that's something I can
okay.
research.
What's the lifespan of the thing?
As far as we know, from air burners, they have not had to replace one in 20 years or so. There is an occasional maintenance issue in the year 15, but other than that, they're pretty self-sustaining.
Yeah. It sounds like it was going to be a break even after 3 years, approximately.
No, it really does.
Yeah. Any public comments?
There are no members of the public online, Chair.
Thank you. I think it's a great idea. So, bring it back to the board. I'll make a motion that we approve it.
I'll second.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye. Awesome. You got your bird box.
You have to give it a good name.
I know, right? I feel like it should have a good name.
Yeah.
Monica?
Excellent.
Motion carries. Good evening, everyone. Each year, we bring before the board a few groups and events that we have a long working history with the district. Now, due to COVID restrictions, as you know, gatherings have been prohibited. However, staff would like to prepare to take immediate action once restrictions are lifted. Staff is submitting for board acceptance the following 2021 programs, activities, and events whose fees are being waived by the general manager. Now, those groups every year, same group, Bridge on the Lake, which is a senior duplicate bridge group. Hand and Foot is a group of ladies that come in and play cards. Scouts of America, the Contra Costa County Library Program for Children, the RAD program that's put on by the Sheriff's Department, the annual Easter egg hunt, and the holiday parade. So staff recommends acceptance of the above 2021 programs, activities, and event fee waivers by the general manager. Do you have any questions for me or like clarification?
Have we ever gotten requests from any other groups for any fee waivers? Mike and I had a discussion about this, but that was one thing I didn't ask.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
How would they go about doing that if they wanted to?
If somebody wanted to come in,
they
fill out a form that we have that's online and we have here. It's the rental paperwork. They can put on that they're looking for a fee waiver. There's a spot on there. And then I would take that to the general manager, review it at his discretion.
Okay. If no more comments, then any public comments? Even though there's no public on the line.
No public on the line, Chair.
Okay, let's no comments. Bring back the board for approval. A motion.
Make a motion that we approve the waivers for 2021.
I'll second that one.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is, so again, each year we put together a Parks and Recreation public event calendar. So due to COVID-19, many events have had to have been canceled. Staff has developed the attached event calendar for board consideration. Once COVID-19 restrictions are lifted, staff would like to proceed with business as usual and work with the various communities to host these events once again. Upon approval of the Parks and Recreation events calendar for 2021, there will be no needed further board action. And you have attached there the list of the events that are, again, a yearly thing that we've done for years now. So staff recommends approving the Parks and Recreation public event calendar for 2021. Any questions?
Yes, are you, are we limiting, and this will be all the events that we do for this year, will we be adding, you know, if we get requests from public or this?
Well, we would have to, you know, take that on a case by case.
Oh, yeah.
This is everything we know because there's a history there.
Yeah.
So somebody could certainly come in and.
Yeah, because I know you just got some suggestions, so if you decided, you know, this one sounds good, that is something that could be discussed and added.
Yes.
So this is kind of as of this date.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah. We try to kind of get it all done at the beginning of the year so we don't have to keep coming back at every, and so when groups are ready, we're just ready to go.
Makes sense.
Because there, like I said, there's a history there.
Well, it's a great calendar.
Fingers crossed.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the calendar.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gattell?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, Director Graves, do you have a couple reports you'd like to present?
As required, I submitted those reports before leaving the area. The written reports have been submitted as required by our board, and anybody that wants to review them can see them there because I don't have them with me anymore.
Okay.
But I will make the only comment that I want to make is with regards to the Contra Fire Protection District. They're pretty confident that there's going to be a consolidation, but the interesting thing is they're having to handle things just like Monica's handling with the community center, in that they have to go ahead and make plans for hiring and everything else as if we were an independent department, even though we're probably going to consolidate, just in case the consolidation doesn't go through. So there's a lot of double work being done currently by the current staff to go ahead and hire for retirees, as well as to fill slots that are already open. And but that's not our board, let's just put it that way. It's kind of a nightmare over there right now, but they're working really hard to move things along, and we really show our appreciation to those guys every chance we get for their forward thinking and the confidence they have in moving forward and providing a better service for us. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Well, with that then, I'm going to turn it over to council to take us into closed session.
Thank you, Chair. The town discovery day will adjourn into closed session to
Are you still there, Andy?
I think Andy hit mute. Andy, you're on mute.
No, you know what? Sometimes it's just like mutes on auto. I just happened to be.
No problem. We missed everything. Try it again.
Yeah, so the town discovery day will adjourn to closed session to address the item labeled on the agenda at N1. Being that there are no public on the line, we can either use the confidential line that I have set up for us now, or we can continue to use this line and make it a little easier for everybody. So I leave that to the discretion of the board.
I'll make a clear recommendation. We can see everybody that calls in and is online, and there are no public, as Andy keeps saying.